Well, good morning. We're going to be in the book of John today, chapter 13. In the third century, there was a plague that hit North Africa. North Africa was, at the time, was part of the pretty much Christian world. There was lots of Christians there. It wasn't totally Christian, but there were lots of Christians there, and particularly in the city of Carthage, again, North Africa, there was a group of Christians that lived there. And these Christians took care of one another. They loved one another. They just took care of others, each other's needs, much like we read in the book of Acts, where it talks about in chapter 3, I think it is, where it talks about how if any one of them had a need, that they provided for that need, and they took care of each other materially and just encouraged one another and those type things. In the third century, though, a plague hit. And it's believed that this time is to be something probably like the smallpox. And there was no kind of medicine for it, and began to eradicate lots and lots of people. Like the plague, of other plagues, it had no respecter of persons, that it didn't matter what your socioeconomic status was, didn't matter how much money you had in the bank, it didn't matter how big your house was. It was a killer of anyone and everyone it came in contact with. And so the people who lived in Carthage, who were not believers, the pagans, they began throwing their sick people out in the street because they didn't want to get infected. And so if you came down with this plague at this time and you were not a believer, it was a good chance, regardless of your status in the community, that you were kicked out of your house and that you were left to die in the street all on your own. Meanwhile, the believers who lived in Carthage were also contracting the plague. And many of them were dying. Instead of throwing them out of the house, though, the Christians would come to them and they would take care of them and they would nurse them. And when they died, they would bury them. And eventually they started taking care of those who were cast out into the streets. They would nurse them and they would bury those dead as well. And their love for one another and their love for each other astonished the Carthaginians. It just amazed them that they were willing to die for one another, that they were willing to contract the plague, that they were willing to become sick and go through this horrible thing that everybody is witnessing in order to take care of one another. And the Carthage people were blown away. And many of them became Christians because of the love they saw how the Christian community had for one another and how they had for them. Tertullian, who is a second century, third century Christian and theologian and writer, he also lives in Carthage, and he makes this statement that the Romans, those who lived in Carthage, because it was part of the Roman Empire, that the Romans, they would exclaim to one another, "See how they love one another?" in astonishment. See how they love one another, even to the point of being willing to die for the other. And the early church was known because of its limitless love. And the early church grew because of the love it showed to one another inside the church and the love it showed to those outside the church. And so today, I want to give you this proposition. Jesus commands us to love. And he gives us a command. And if we would actually follow it, it would change the world. So what does Jesus command us to do? the book of John, chapter 13, in verse 34 and 35, we find our text today. It says, Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This morning I want to talk about limitless love. We've talked about limitless grace. We've talked about limitless faith. We've talked about limitless wisdom. And today I want to talk about limitless love. As we go into the new year, in our fourth week of the new year, what if we lived limitlessly? Knowing that God is with us, God walks with us, and that He is able to take care of us. Will we have faith? Will we have grace? Will we have wisdom? And will we show love? Today I want us to see these two aspects of Jesus' command. The first thing that we see is that Jesus commands love. And he says, I give you a new command. And that's kind of an odd thing for me because you're reading the New Testament. Granted, I grew up in church and I grew up hearing the love. But by the time Jesus gives this command, he is about to die. If you look at the context of John, Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet. He's at the Last Supper, and then he gives this teaching about love. And he gets down to verse 34, and he says, a new command I give to you, love one another. And you have to think, Jesus, is this really a new command? Is this really new? Is this the first time Jesus is saying this? I mean, you think about the stories that Jesus told, and maybe they're not all in John, but by this point, Jesus has done 3 years of ministry, and by this point, Jesus has given his teaching, and surely by this point, Jesus has told the story of the Good Samaritan, right? And the point of the Good Samaritan is that we should love those who we think are unlovable. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus says, everyone. Love him. And before that, if you go to as far back as the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, yes, there's good stuff in Leviticus. It's not just a bunch of laws. But in Leviticus, Jesus is actually quoting Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, which says, do not take revenge or bear a grudge against a member of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. So what's this new command that Jesus is talking about? Is this really a new command? I think what's new about it is that Jesus says you have to love just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you, you love one another. And you begin to think about that yes, Scripture tells us to love one another like we love ourselves. You know, and that's what Jesus tells the Good Samaritan about the story about. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And yes, we should love one another. But Jesus says, you need to love like I loved you. And that right there is groundbreaking. See, because Jesus loves us in ways that we don't always love ourselves and the ways that we don't always love our neighbors. How does Jesus love others? We look at Jesus' life and we look at Jesus' ministry. We look at what the Gospels teach us. And some of the things Jesus does is he feeds people. That's something you could do. See someone hungry, someone who needs help, maybe someone who doesn't have the means to take care of their food, and you can feed people. Jesus does it. 5,000 people, just put it on my bill. And he does it multiple times. Jesus feeds people. People that don't want anything but to get from him. They just want to take advantage of him. Jesus feeds them anyway. He cried with others. His good friend dies. He goes to the funeral. And his friend's sister comes up, and she is just crying, and she's bawling, and Jesus cries with her. When's the last time you cried with another believer? Because of their heartache, because of what's going inside. You can cry with someone. You can do what else Jesus did. He encourages others. You can be an encourager. Here's something Jesus did that'll blow your mind. He paid other people's taxes. Tax season's coming. I know none of you are jumping up to do that. But there's a story in Scripture where they come after Jesus and they say, hey, you haven't paid your tax. And so Jesus tells Peter, hey, go fishing. You're going to find a coin in the fish's mouth. You're going to pay both our taxes. Jesus pays his taxes and someone else's taxes. You can do that. What else does Jesus do? How else does he love people? He restores them. In the book of John, there is a story that is probably very familiar to you. But Jesus goes after his resurrection. He's on the beach and he starts cooking. And Peter comes off the boat and he recognizes Jesus. And in his shame, he just doesn't want to deal with it. And Jesus restores him. The most important thing that Jesus did, though, is Jesus died for you. He died for you. These are all things, even dying for someone, if it has to come to that. These are all things that we should, as believers, do for one another. Remember, this is odd because this is an in-group message today. If you're not a believer, then it's hard for you to comprehend this. But if you're someone who is a Christian, someone who lives it out, this is how the church should work. You should love one another. The church is supposed to love like Jesus did. It's supposed to love the way Jesus showed us. The church is supposed to look like that. Sadly, though, I've been around church and I've been around other ministers, and some of the most hate-filled people go to church every week and call themselves Christian. Some of you may have even experienced it. Other people who are just cruel to you, mean to you, with no good reason. And they wonder, where's that love? Where's that love that Jesus says we should have for one another? You know, there's a stereotype about Baptists. Sadly, stereotypes are built on some truth. And it's one of the stereotypes about Baptists that we like to fight. We won't fight against the world. We'll fight against ourselves. And we'll fight about foolish things. And churches will split because of the old adage of what color should we change the carpet to? Or should we have hymnals or not? And churches today split. They say, I'm not going to church with you because I don't like your opinion on the color of a carpet. And it's sad, but it's true. And it makes you wonder, do you really love that person? Is your disdain for them so much so that you refuse to worship with them because they have a different preference on the color of a carpet or on this or on that? And the world watches us. And the world thinks, oh, Baptists, you're the ones who fight a lot. The world loves to cover our conventions when we get together and we fight over foolishness. We don't fight to love, we fight each other. And let me be honest, some of the things are important. But a church growth strategy and a church multiplication strategy should not be split. And if we really loved one another, if we really cared about one another, we would work together and work through our issues. What if we actually obeyed Jesus' command this year? What if we loved one another? What if we cared for one another? What if we showed our community what it means to be a Christian and what it means to love one another? What if we loved limitlessly? You say, how do we do that? How in the world do we do that? We begin by understanding that love is an action. Love is an action. You understand that love is not an affection. Love is not something that you feel. It's something you do. Now, in our culture and in our vocabulary, we use the word love for anything and everything that we really like a lot. You can love tacos, you can love pizza, you can love your mama. You can love your wife. You can love Fords or Chevys. You can love anything in our culture. And we've diminished what it really means to love. And love is an action. I'll never forget when I was a teenager, a song came out by a group called DC Talk. And DC Talk is no longer together. They're with three different groups now. But they were revolutionary in those days. And they had this song, and I could sing it to you, but I'm not. But the song lyrics had to do with him looking in a dictionary. And he looks up the word love. And when he looks up the word love, if you'll notice in dictionaries, it tells you how to pronounce it. It has the phonetic way of pronouncing love. And then after that, it has what port of speech it is. Now, those of you who hadn't been in school for a while, what's the port of speech? An adverb or an adjective or a noun or verb or parts of speech. And he said it blew his mind because when he looks past the word, how to spell it and how to pronounce it, he sees a V. Means love is a verb. Love is action. Love is something you do, not something you feel. We can have the right doctrine. We can proclaim the right truth. We can say the right things. But the problem is, if we don't love one another, and if we don't love anybody else, we will never persuade the world that they need Jesus. When you look at the early church and you see the Romans proclaiming, wow, look how they love one another. They're not even related, but they love one another. Makes you wonder, does anybody ever say that about the church today? As I was reading to prepare for today, I came across this quote. The quote says this, or it was really just a guy who's writing a commentary. He says, love that fails to take the form of action on behalf of others is nothing more than religious rhetoric. Love that fails to take action or take the form of action on behalf of others is nothing more than religious rhetoric. And you're probably saying, what is rhetoric? That is just speech. It's just words. It's useless. If you refuse to show love, then you talk about love, it's useless. So how do we begin? Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, and in his book, he wrote and he gives two ways in which we can begin to love. The first way is maybe profound to you, but it's to actually seek out and to ask for and to apologize and seek forgiveness. some of us need to seek forgiveness and need to apologize to others. To seek others' forgiveness. It's amazing. It's what causes the greatest division is not our differences, but in the way we articulate our differences or how our differences are handled. How do you treat someone who disagrees with you? How do you treat someone you love who disagrees with you? You should treat someone you love who disagrees with you differently than someone you don't know who disagrees with you. Sadly, we treat them worse, usually. How does the husband treat his wife when they disagree? How does the friend treat his friend when they disagree versus just some acquaintance? We should seek out forgiveness. We should apologize. And the second thing that we can do is grant forgiveness. To receive forgiveness. To grant forgiveness to others. Jesus says, look, you can't worship me if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Think about that. How many of us are here today with unforgiveness in our heart and saying we're worshiping God? And Jesus says you can't do it. You can't do it. You've got to seek forgiveness before you seek me. And I think the way in order for us to begin to love one another, the way Jesus tells us to love one another, is to forgive, seek forgiveness in order for us to work together for his glory. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul writes again about being together. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. I actually start in verse 1. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love. Diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. Have unity. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. The point Paul is saying is that we are all on the same team if you are in Christ. We're all together. So the question is, are you loving like Jesus loved? What if we actually practiced loving one another the way Jesus loved? I think the community began to say, wow, look how they love one another. Look how they take care of one another. They don't argue over foolish things. What if we practice love? Who do you need to practice love toward today? Who do you need to apologize to? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to grant forgiveness to? The early church's love turned heads. Sadly, today, our church, not just our church, but the church, makes people shake their heads. If we love one another, we could change the world. I I know today was kind of heavy. And I'm not going after anyone. This message is preached to me first. But if we're going to live in Christ in a new year, we've got to love others. And we can't just talk about it. We've got to do it. Love is a verb. It's not a feeling. And if we say we love, but don't show it, we're just talking about it. As Chris plays and as Drake plays, will you stand and respond to God? Maybe you need to seek forgiveness from Him. Maybe there's someone you need to go ask forgiveness from. Maybe there's someone you need to grant forgiveness to. That if you leave here today, you need to go to them as soon as possible. What if we love limitlessly? Father God, I thank You for the love You showed us. Love that cost You Your life. You showed us that love gives. You gave us Your Son so that we might know You. God, I pray that our love would not be in rhetoric only. Not just be words, but it be filled with action. That we would seek and grant forgiveness. That You would bless. Father, I pray that in this year that we would love each other so much that the community would look and say, wow. Look at how they love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.